Captain's log, emergency report. We are fast being sucked into the hideous vortex of a black hole.
Bulletins from the Titanic, Steady as She Sinks. That's the title of an article November 13th in the alternative journal Counterpunch. It's by Mike Whitney, an independent journalist from Washington State. Whitney is a dissident voice who publishes widely on foreign debacles and financial affairs. He makes a lot of complex issues visible to the rest of us, and we have him on the phone today. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Alex. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad you took the time to talk with us. Look, I'm seeing a lot of multi-billion dollar loss announcements and followed by smooth assurances that everything's fine. It's kind of like, you know, attention shoppers go to the mall and save Christmas. Tell us, what is really happening out there?
Well, I think I should give you a thumbnail sketch so that people have some kind of broader idea of where this originated and where it's all headed and why it's going to have, I think, potentially catastrophic effects on not just the American economy, but the global financial system. And we hear a lot about the meltdown in subprime loans. And subprime loans, this actually originated with the Federal Reserve between year 2002 and 2004, when they lowered interest rates below the rate of inflation and pumped trillions of dollars of low-interest credit into the system. And when central banks do that, it creates like a tidal wave that has to find different estuaries to release itself, and it creates a frenzy of speculative activity. And in this case, since the dot-com bubble had burst and people were no longer interested in investing their money in technology, it found its way into the housing sector, and the housing total mortgage value increased by $5.5 trillion in a six-year period, which is completely unprecedented and had nothing to do with normal supply and demand situation. It had to do with cheap money being available with lowered standards of loaning at the banks. So these lower standards fall into many different categories of loans, but the one that gets most attention is the subprime, and there are $1.5 trillion dollars worth of subprime loans out there, and they're expected to default at a rate of approximately 20 to 25%. That's a lot of people going out of business or losing their homes. But the bigger picture that people miss in this entire situation is that the subprime situation is merely the beginning of a much bigger problem. And that problem is that those loans have been amplified many times over in the secondary and the stock market through derivatives. And so if you take a $400,000 loan and then you put it in a hedge fund and it's leveraged at a margin of 10 to 1, you have a $4 million problem, okay? But when that problem is further amplified to, 10 times above that or 15 times beyond that with credit default swaps and options and other hedges that are available in this huge world of structured finance that is just creating more and more expansion of debt upon itself, then you have the possibility of this spilling over into the broader global economy. And that's why we see that as this thing is unwinding, that banks in Germany, France, England, and any other place where these loans, these opaque, very complex, what they call CDOs or mortgage-backed securities, are holding these assets are having difficulty because these things have lost a tremendous amount of their value, and as they unwind, the banks don't have the wherewithal, the capital reserve, to back them up. And in a nutshell, that's kind of it.
And I've been hearing that they can't actually figure out what some of these things are worth. They've been multiplied so many times and changed around that by the time your pension fund or mine has bought into it, now when they try and unwind it, they can't put it back together.
Well, you know, I'm sure glad that you brought that up, because we are at the very beginning phase of this. When you mention pension funds, the pension funds probably are carrying more of this toxic derivative sludge than are the banks. And already we're seeing that the banks are teetering on the brink of insolvency because they can't offload $200 or $250 billion of this junk that there's no longer a market for. But to clarify what you just said, I was just reading an article in the Wall Street Journal, and the author was talking about a meeting he had earlier in the month with Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke. And when he asked Bernanke, what is it most you would like to know about the subprime dilemma that we're facing right now? And Bernanke answered, I would like to know what those damn things are worth. Okay. Now, if that doesn't send a shiver up your spine, it certainly did mine. And I'll tell you why. The central bank is also one of our prime regulators for the entire financial system. And you're talking about this entire web of trillions of dollars of derivatives that were sold into the secondary market and which are haunting the housing market right now and causing unprecedented foreclosures. And he's saying he doesn't know what they're worth. This is a system that's completely out of control. I mean, you're talking about basically handing the hen house over to the foxes and saying, do with it what you will in the name of free market exchange. And this is a real tragedy.
And now I read that Citigroup and some other banks, as they flounder around, are trying to set up some sort of special fund. And I hear the big bite on the taxpayer coming to bail out what were really fantasy investments.
Well, the super SIV that you're talking about, the banks are actually going to provide their own money for that. But the reason that won't work is that they're trying to buy time so that people will not know what these assets that they're carrying are really not worth what they think they're what they're supposed to be valued at. In other words, State Street is responsible for a $1.5 billion CDO, one of these derivatives again that are related by mortgage securities, and they are liquidating that CDO right now, and it's a triple A rated CDO that has been regraded to a B or a triple B, which means that it will probably fetch somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 cents on the dollar. Now, if you take $200 billion of these that are on the bank's balance sheets, and I'm talking about the big banks here, okay? I'm talking about, Goldman Sachs and Citigroup and Merrill Lynch, et cetera, Lehman Brothers. And all of a sudden you say, well, the assets that you thought were worth $200 billion are actually worth about $40 billion. Where are they going to come up with the money? Where are they going to come up with the capital reserves? This is a tremendous issue, and no one really knows how they can solve it, or if they can solve it.
And, we were talking, or I was mentioning, that possibly it could come to government bailout, as the savings and loan did. But now let's move a little bit to the U.S. deficit, which was recently authorized to go from $8 trillion to over $9 trillion, and now they've topped that fantastic fund already of $9 trillion. And the big owners of that American debt are, as we know, China, Japan, and Saudi Arabia, and it seems like those foreign investors have taken a real bath as the dollar drops and may already be getting out with other currencies like the euro. So what I'm wondering about is, some environmentalists have been promoting a $500 billion government spending plan, maybe with the new Democratic government, to build a new energy economy and lots of green jobs, and it sounds great, but I wonder if there's going to be anything left to spend even keeping our hospitals open and our schools, much less starting a new alternative energy economy. What is your read on that?
Well, of course, many people believe that the whole supply-side economics theory and cutting taxes for the wealthy, $300, $400 billion a year, that revenue is not coming in and creating these deficits, was in fact designed to crash the system so that we could privatize the public sector and take all the public assets and put them up for auction at the lowest at fire sale rates. That could be what is happening. I mean, certainly that has been our modus operandi around the world in many of the developing countries, et cetera, that we get corrupt officials in there, we crash their economy, then we come in and the whole thing is privatized, everything down to education, oil resources, water, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not so much as a conspiracy theory as it is a lesson in history. So is this happening to the United States right now? I'm not sure. I'm sure that whether their plan originally was to depreciate the dollar intentionally to make us more competitive manufacturing-wise, that it's backfiring because at the end of the day, the people who are printing the money, now this is kind of hard to understand unless you really think about it a little bit, don't care what the actual face value of the money is. What they care about is that they're still the reserve currency because they don't care if it's worth the full value of a dollar or if it's worth 20 cents on the dollar. As long as they can take that green paper, give it to you, and you give them your manufactured goods, your oil resources, and whatever else it is you're selling. And that's how you maintain control of the global economic system. And as these other countries move more rapidly towards baskets of currencies, what we see is a greater democratization of currency. And I think that that threatens the United States' position as a global leader. And that's very much in doubt now because for 7 years we've seen the Bush administration basically undermine America's power economically, politically, and militarily. So I don't expect that to change anytime soon.
Well, I'm going to have a little fun with you, Mike. You know, I like to fact-check my guests a little ahead of time. Nothing fancy, just the usual, you know, criminal checks and ask sure. The neighbors. And a couple things stood out about you. First of all, last February, you publicly predicted the U.S. dollar would collapse in 2007. How do you feel about that prediction now?
Well, I think that it hasn't collapsed in the sense that it's completely, collapsed in the sense that it's Weimar Republic and it's no longer worth anything, but I think we've seen a pretty straight trajectory from the time Bush took office when it was 85 cents on the euro to now when I believe it's $1.47 that we've seen a consistent downward trajectory to the dollar, and at the present rate could the United States survive with a currency like that if it were going in that same direction uninterrupted for the next 8 or 10 years, and I think that would describe collapse. It would be, as I said many times, eye to eye with the peso, and it's certainly headed in that direction.
Well, the other thing that struck me was apparently, and tell me if I've got this wrong, reading the U.S. housing market a little bit ahead of the curve, you sold your house. Is that correct?
Yes, I did, but you know, I'd like to clarify that because we owned our house outright, lived there for 27 years. 5 acres and raised my kids there, had great emotional attachment to it. The house went up between 5 to 6 times its original value, and my wife and I frankly said, I had read probably 14 or 15 articles about the housing bubble. I have no crystal ball. People are patting me on the back saying, well, you predicted the housing bubble. That's not true. The information was out there. It's just that the media does its best to obscure the political and economic information, which create an informed public enough to make intelligent decisions about their own economic and political lives, you know? And so I finally, after reading the really banner story in The Economist explaining in detail how much was, you know, how dire this equity bubble was related to the housing thing, that you can see with certainty that the housing prices were going to go down quite dramatically. And that this was all created by the cheap credit, which was produced by the Federal Reserve. And we sold out 2 years ago, and we were in Kiplinger magazine, and it pretty much framed like we were kind of nutcases at the time. Of course, no one's laughing now. It's a very serious situation. So I stick by that prediction.
Well, I would guess so. Now, for the average person who's just starting to get introduced, I mean, some people have kind of noticed on their daily jobs that things aren't looking so good. What kind of sources should they be looking at? Where can we get some good information about what's going on?
You know, the media likes to come in when something is actually taking place, when the tragedy is actually unfolding, and then give you some detail to maintain their own credibility. That is not just, and then people tend to believe that, well, they're finally coming clean. That's not the case at all. That's not the case about Iraq, where coverage has been reduced by approximately 30%, because now they just want to disappear the war from the pages of the newspapers and from the TV journalism. And the same is true of the housing bubble, the falling dollar, and the problems in the stock market. Everyone has to accept responsibility for their own economic futures to some extent, because the media basically represents the vested interests of the 1% of the people who own them. And those people also sit on the same boards of Lockheed Martin, Boeing, and McDonnell Douglas. So you cannot expect that these people have your interests at heart. So stop thinking that you can dump off your money or your savings at Joe at the local Fidelity or whatever, and he's going to manage it appropriately for you. You have to do some investigation yourself. This is a very fluid market. It's a very volatile situation, and it requires that everyone educate themselves to a certain extent.
Well, I'd like to look just briefly at the environment itself. You know, some deep green thinkers are actually hoping the consumer colossus falls into a deep pit and stays there. And then finally, that whole conveyor belt that turns tropical jungles and horribly mined foreign metals into shopping trinkets that nobody needs, it'll slow down or even stop. And the Earth does need a rest from pointless consumption and endless trash dumps. But this is a really painful way to go if this is how we go. Could this financial trouble have a green lining, in your opinion?
It could have, if it creates the basis for more international cooperation among independent sovereign nations. Right now we're operating, I think you probably agree, under a model of world governance where the United States is essentially, and its allies are calling the shots for the rest of the world, and the people who are calling the shots in the United States are a cartel of the largest corporations in the world. I think we can see after the last 7 years, with the expansion of war, with the depletion of resources, with this vigorous campaign in the media to dissuade people from believing in even something as basic as global warming or peak oil, all these things are being obfuscated in the media. This model is a complete failure. Am I anti-capitalist? I'm not going to go that far to say that. What I'm saying is that the model we're working with right now has us on a path to catastrophe, and I don't think anyone would deny that. I mean, the wars now extend from the southern tip of Somalia all the way to the northern tip of Afghanistan. It's a war zone. And this is not a way that we can reach any kind of consensus on the basically species-threatening issues that we're facing. So we need more consensus, and I'm afraid that we need the United States to be a little more diminished in its military power and its prowess and its position in the world, which, of course, Bush is accommodating us in quite nicely, so that there's more democratization among the independent states of the world so that we can reach some kind of agreement about these issues.
We've been speaking with indie journalist Mike Whitney from Washington State. Mike, what have we left out, and how can people find out more about your work or contact you?
I appear on a number of different websites, Counterpunch, Information Clearinghouse, and a number of Dissident Voice, Market Oracle. But what I'd really like to get across to your listeners more than anything else is to figure out some way to investigate these issues yourself. There's a lot of very good insider information on the internet, and if you want to email me, I'll identify the different websites that you may be interested in, that you can verify what I'm saying. I don't claim to be an expert or the last word on these issues, but the fact that the stock market went up today or goes down tomorrow is no indication of whether or not what I'm telling you is the truth. The economic situation right now is very dire, and people need to prepare themselves for what could happen and how it's going to affect their jobs and their futures. So I guess that wraps it up.
All right. Well, Mike, thanks for talking and helping us out here on Radio EcoShock. Maybe someday soon the hedge fund operators will be picking tomatoes and making a real living. And let's talk again as the situation develops.
Thank you very much, Alex. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again.
That was indie journalist Mike Whitney, and this is Radio EcoShock.